Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Bring Your Own Kombucha podcast. By now, you probably know who I am, but for those of you who may be new, my name is Erica, and I am the creator and writer behind Bring Your Own Kombucha, which is both a health and wellness podcast and vlog. Today's episode features my friend Maggie Hayes and her business partner, Sarah Vienerman of Work From Ohm. So I don't know if you can tell from the word work from ohm, which actually kind of like a pun, but Work From Ohm is a company that has provided over 100 businesses throughout New York City and the nation with on-site yoga, meditation, and mindfulness programs for employees of all experience levels. They offer a modern, friendly approach to age-old practice. They have guided classes and workshops and use mindfulness and movement as a way to lower stress, increase mind-body awareness, and improve your overall health, fitness, and well-being. I loved chatting with them because I just think as a person who sits at a desk all day and works that typical 9-to-5 job, especially being an attorney, it can be stressful. And I could totally see how this company can change lives and really help those who sit at a desk all day. And we actually talk about tips for people who sit at a desk all day. And just tips for, you know, newbie yogis and office workers. And they also have this program called the Digital Diet. So we'll talk about that as well. I'm going to leave the information to Work From Ohm and Maggie's information and Sarah's information in the podcast notes. So if you're interested in contacting them or bringing them to your company, I highly, highly recommend it. We also talk about the different cities that they are available in right now. And hopefully they'll be all across the country soon enough because this idea is just brilliant. And without further ado, let's jump into this episode. Hi, everyone. And before we jump into today's podcast episode, I just want to give a big shout out to Pink Tomato Skincare. So let me preface this with I'm actually recording this ad while I'm breastfeeding. So you might hear little Elizabeth in the background. But yeah, so let's talk about Pink Tomato Skincare. And the reason I want to bring them up is because I stumbled upon them at a health and wellness event. And upon like looking further into the company, I found out that they are actually all organic. They don't test on animals. They are vegan. They use natural aromas. And they also use eco packaging, which I feel like is very hard to find. So I was able to connect with the owner, Gina, who is a badass mama. She runs this business and raises her little boy, and he is just absolutely adorable. Definitely head over to her Instagram at Pink Tomato Skincare. I use a lot of her products. I would say that my favorite product of hers, and you probably see me wearing this a lot on Instagram, is her face mask. She has this pink face mask that is basically a rejuvenating cold facial, and you can put it in the freezer or in the fridge, whichever you prefer. I always put it in the freezer, and then you wear it for about like 15 minutes after you apply your favorite face cream, and it really tightens up your skin. It soothes your skin. It reduces the appearance of wrinkles. It reduces the size of pores, which is really ideal for basically all types of skin types. Furthermore, it actually fights acne, and it acts as acupuncture meridian that promotes circulation, helping, you know, rejuvenate the skin. So there's a lot of benefits to that one. And then my second favorite product is actually you can use it for babies as well, but I use this prior to having Lizzie. It's called a konjac sponge. And Jean actually creates a couple different varieties, but for the most part, all three varieties are 100% natural. They're made without preservatives. They're made without artificial coloring, without chemical additives, no artificial chemicals. It's 100% biodegradable. And basically, the purpose of a konjac sponge is that it starts out dry and it becomes hard. And then when you soak the sponge in water, you squeeze it and use it all over your body and face with circular motions, and it gently balances the pH of your skin. And you know that it's the real deal when it was actually created for babies, but because of the amazing qualities of it, adults started using it and seeing their positive effects. So I encourage you all to head over to www.pinktomatoskincare.com and try out Gina's product. She's also on Instagram and Facebook, and again, you can just find her at Pink Tomato Skincare. And for a sweet discount, you can use BYOK18, and make sure the BYOK is capitalized, and Gina will hook you up with, just a sweet discount for being a listener of the BYOK podcast. So head over there and check her out. Hi, ladies, and welcome to the Bring Your Own Kombucha podcast.
Hi, Erica. Thanks so much for having us.
Of course.
Hi, Erica. So excited to be here.
Why don't you give us a brief background about yourself? Maggie, why don't you start?
Yeah, sure. Hi, my name is Maggie Hayes. I am a yoga teacher, previously based in New York City and now based in Memphis, Tennessee. Bit of a change. I recently moved. But I got into yoga about 5 or 6 years ago and started a consistent practice, like daily asana, the postures, and meditation practice about 2-ish years ago, I'd say. And it has just been a total game changer. It's had such a profound impact on my life. And I started working with Sarah late last year, late 2017, offering corporate yoga, yoga classes, mindfulness workshops, meditation to working professionals in New York City. And I come to the yoga scene from the corporate scene. I worked in New York City politics, so I definitely understand the struggle and the stress of the corporate world. So working with work from home has been really wonderful.
I love that. And Sarah, would you mind just giving us a brief background about yourself?
Yeah, sure. I'd love to. So my background is really in marketing. I worked in several different roles in marketing with finance companies, IT companies. I even had my own consulting practice up until starting work from home. But I found at one point in my life, in my late 20s, actually, mid to late 20s, I was feeling like I had no direction. I had no anchor. I was very, very stressed out career-wise, and I was in a job that I just really didn't like. So at first, I started yoga just because I heard it was relaxing and that maybe once a week I could get a reprieve from all of the stresses. And sure enough, it worked really, really well. And I started to make a habit out of it. Eventually, I got all this feedback like, wow, this is really so good for you. I can see a change in you. And personally, I felt like I was obviously less stressed out, but also thinking more clearly, making better decisions, more productive, not just more relaxed in general. And I started teaching at people's offices because I got this feedback that that's where people need it. And at first it was just a really kind of small thing here and there, teaching friends, and it grew. So work from home now has been around for 4 years, since 2014. And we've evolved quite a bit, but as Maggie mentioned, we now offer not just yoga, but also meditation, all sorts of workshops, customized programming. And we really just try to bridge the gap between, work and life and self-actualization and being the best self, no matter where you are, whether you're at work, whether you're at home. We've kind of found a way to make that connection.
I love that. So with that being said, who are your clients? Are they small companies? Are they big companies? Who does work from home really tailor to?
Well, we work with companies of all sizes. So some of our clients are names that, you know, anybody would recognize, like NBC Universal, Warner Music Group, Heineken. We also work with a lot of small law firms, accounting firms, small PR agencies, tech startups, you name it. At first, obviously, we didn't have the resources to work with really big companies, and we didn't have the resources to be outside of New York, but that all has changed in the last year to year and a half, and we're really scaling now, and it's a really exciting time.
Very cool. So what kind of offerings and workshops do you guys offer? Because I know you mentioned that you don't just offer yoga. So when you go into these offices, such as like NBC or these tech startups, like what do you guys actually do? How long does it actually last? Give us all the details.
Sure. So we have a program for really every office. Some of our clients, they do traditional yoga. They bring in their mats. They get sweaty for an hour a week, and it's exactly what you would expect. Other workplace cultures are not really super adaptable to that. People might not feel comfortable getting sweaty, wearing leggings, you know, in front of their coworkers. It's just not that kind of work environment. So for those companies, we have options such as our stretch and refresh program, where people don't have to change their clothes. It's chair yoga, it's standing poses, and then it's a guided meditation. We obviously have a guided meditation program. And then we also have our signature workshop. So mindfulness in an age of distraction is a really popular one these days. We also have a de-stress at your desk workshop, an ergonomics workshop, and we also customize workshops. So beyond just the, you know, traditional on-the-mat yoga, we've got mindful movement sequences that work for people that can just do it right at their desk. And we have stuff that doesn't really involve movement at all, but it's just more about setting boundaries on your attention, using mindfulness to cut through noise, to relax, breathing, etc.
So I can totally relate to why doing yoga midday or doing a meditation midday or any one of your workshops would be so beneficial, because I personally sit at an office all day and it's just so bad for your body. And, you know, you're sitting in corporate America stressing out all day, and I could totally see the benefits. But what are some of the benefits that you guys both have personally seen, you know, through coming to people's offices, through going to the law firms and actually working hands-on with different people?
Yeah, totally. So I think that with the, like, the chair yoga and just, like, the mindful movement kind of tutorials that we do give, a lot of it is really targeted, well, all of it is really targeted to those specific spots that get really tense during the day, like your shoulders. Like, you know, people are really hunched over at computers all day long, and they don't give it a second thought. So when we can show them, like, different movements to maybe stretch the tops of their shoulders, to move their shoulder blades around, like, you can see the feedback on their faces. They're like, whoa, oh my gosh, I can't believe how tight I am, like how hard that was, or not how hard it was, but how much they really feel it, just because, you know, it's something like that that you just don't, that you don't think about during the day when you're like on, when you're crunching down on a deadline or something like that. And then the same thing with your hips. You're sitting all day long. It's crunching your hip flexors. So when you are taking the opportunity, the time to really just stretch that out and then to return back to your desk, it really makes such a big difference.
I totally agree with that. I know when I come home after work, sometimes I'll just go straight for my yoga mat. And when I do like a hip...
That's so good.
And yeah, well, because I'm pregnant right now, so I've been like having a little bit of back pain from, I think, the extra weight and just from sitting at my desk all day. So I'll come home and I'll do like a nice long child's pose, and I'm like, oh, this feels so good.
Yeah, definitely. To piggyback off of what Maggie said, you know, even when you're not in a chair all day or a desk all day, just like you kind of, you know, are dealing with your unique experience right now, being pregnant, all sorts of people have all sorts of their own holding patterns, right? Some people will clench their jaw. Other people lean to one side all the time or cross one leg over the other. And all of those things do manifest more, obviously, when you don't have the space or the opportunity to really unwind it. And so that's where really the sitting at your desk comes in, is that we're holding our patterns all day long. So not only do we have, you know, some poses and some exercises and best practices that are really ubiquitous and are good for really anybody, but we also empower people to sort of identify their own holding patterns and to use mindfulness and breath awareness and body awareness to pay attention and to intervene and to be their own healers in a way. And that's really unique for everybody, but we kind of lay that foundation, that groundwork.
So I think that originally kind of when people maybe think about yoga or they think about meditation or all of these practices and these terms that we're always throwing around today, I think that it can be kind of intimidating and overwhelming, but it really doesn't take much time at all. Like even when you were saying, Erica, when you just go home and you get into a child's pose for just a few minutes, it can make such a difference in how your body feels and then how your mind is operating. So it's just kind of like bringing that awareness and showing them that they already have the tools that they need to, like Sarah said, to be their own healer.
I totally agree with that. Now, do you think that there's a connection, just based on your experience and what you guys have seen, there's like a connection between, you know, taking that break midday and doing a little bit of yoga and meditation, and then connecting it with like the work life and the productivity?
I definitely do. I mean, oftentimes we are so slammed with demands for our attention, right? We get so many emails, we get text messages, work, personal, advertising, everything, you name it, right? And a lot of times it can kind of feel like we're just juggling all of these tasks and ideas and there's never enough time. And our attention can get really, really flooded. And I think that taking a midday break and learning how to step back from all of that, check in with yourself, with your mind, your body, your breath, use those three things to sort of reorganize, to reconfirm why you're doing what you're doing in the first place, whether it's the job that you're in, the relationship you're in. It really helps to ground you and to refocus you when the rest of the world is trying to pull you into a million different directions.
Absolutely. So aside from that, what do you guys typically do on the meditation side during your workshops? What kind of tips do you provide to, you know, corporate America when you're teaching them and going through the workshops and things like that?
Again, kind of like what I was saying before, like when people hear these terms and when they think about something like meditation, I think it can be a little intimidating, a little overwhelming. And they're like, I'm never going to clear my mind. How can I possibly sit still for 5 minutes and clear my mind? That's impossible. And yeah, it might be impossible. We're human. We're living in really busy cities. We have really high pressure jobs. So sitting down for a few minutes and clearing your mind is pretty daunting. So what I like to tell people is that instead of thinking of meditation as a way to clear your mind, I like to think of it as a way to focus your mind. You know, they call it a practice for a reason. You know, the more you work it, the more accessible, the easier, the more natural it kind of gets. You're sitting down in a meditation, your eyes are closed, and a thought comes up, a distraction comes up, thinking about a deadline comes up. The practice comes in when you can notice that thought, like it's there, it exists. But instead of latching onto it, you make the choice to bring your mind back to your breath. You make the choice to bring your mind back to your body, back to what you're doing right there, and just know that that thought, that deadline, whatever, is going to be there when you're done. So another thought comes up, you bring it back. Something comes up, you bring your mind back. It's just over and over bringing it back. It's like a muscle. And so the more that you work it, the stronger that it gets. And I think that kind of explaining it that way and approaching it that way, it can seem much more accessible for people.
What about people who have never done yoga or meditation and they're super hesitant to start? And this might kind of piggyback off my last question, but I'm just curious how you treat like super beginners, because I do feel like, you know, it's really daunting to be practicing meditation or yoga with your colleagues. Like, I feel like that can be a little bit intimidating. So what about for newbies? What are your like tips and suggestions?
Well, I like to tell people that you shouldn't really go into it with any expectations whatsoever. I mean, in fact, that is one of the cornerstones of a yoga practice is don't expect anything. You know, even somebody who can stand on their hands usually will go into a class one day and they're just falling every single time. And that kind of humbles you, and it teaches you that every day is a different day. Every day is an opportunity. Every day you'll have a different challenge or a different success, perhaps. You know, but it's not always linear. And so wherever you are right now is where you are, and that's where you start. And the practice offers a path and a supportive path for everybody. Whatever it is that you need to learn, you'll learn it on your mat. I like to say whether you need to learn how to be stronger or more flexible or take more risks or to trust. All of those things are lessons that we learn either when we're putting physical stress on the body in order to train the mind, or when we're sitting alone with our thoughts, with our anxieties. And it's not always easy, but the only way out is through. You know, you have to do it to get to the other side. And so we tell people start really slow, start small. 3 minutes of meditation a day is better than 0 minutes. 4 minutes is better than three. We encourage people to celebrate their tiny victories. So somebody who might not have been able to touch their toes, and we get a lot of people like that. Once they are able to find that flexibility, whether it be a month or 6 months from now or a year from now, we make sure that they know that that is a big deal and that life is all about progress in your personal life, in your health and fitness life, in your work life. And you start where you are, and whatever it is that you lack, you will find it in your yoga practice, regardless of what it is. And so it's an opportunity to learn, to grow, and to really step into your highest self.
I love that advice.
Totally. And I think that people put a lot of pressure on themselves to perform and to really be the best. But I think a good point for a lot of teachers to hammer home is that it's your practice. It's your individual practice. The practice doesn't belong to the person next to you. They have their own practice. They don't need yours. So it's just going into it with an open mind, with no expectations. Sometimes you surprise yourself, sometimes you'll fall over, but then in the next moment you'll surprise yourself. Like it's not linear, as Sarah said. It's always changing, always evolving, and you just kind of got to go with it.
Such good advice. Now, you guys also have a program called Digital Diet. Am I wrong? Yeah, Digital Diet.
You're not wrong. So the digital diet is a part of our mindfulness in an age of distraction content. So it's a workshop that we do, and we offer people our version of a digital diet. So, you know, digital detox is everywhere these days. People get really excited about unplugging for a weekend or even a day. And for many of us, we live in New York City. So for us in particular, well, Maggie now is in Memphis and we miss her so much, but for those of us who are still here in the rat race of New York City.
I'm still up there. My heart's still up there.
You know, it's a lot, and it's impossible to just unplug. It's not realistic, right? We have work to do. We have families. We have a million unfinished tasks on our to-do list all the time. And you can't always just turn your email off. You can't always just, you know, put your phone on airplane mode. So we offer these small little tips such as using an alarm clock when you wake up so that your phone isn't like an actual alarm clock, so that your phone isn't the first thing that you see in the morning, because then what happens? You end up scrolling nonstop for an hour before you even get out of bed, or you're subjected to the demands of everyone's attention before you've even put your feet on the ground and decided how you want your day to start. We encourage people to turn off non-vital notifications. So obviously email notifications at work, even text message notifications, you know, it's not realistic to just turn those off. But you could probably turn off your Facebook notifications, your Instagram notifications, shopping sites, fantasy boards, etc.
That's
et cetera.
A big one.
Yeah.
I turned off my Instagram notifications and it changed my life.
Totally. Because you check those things anyway. You check those things anyway. Believe me, you're not going to forget to check Facebook for days. If you turn off your notifications, you'll just go to it fewer times a day. Eventually, maybe only once a day. But, you know, manage your attention. Set boundaries on your attention. We give time blocking tips. We recommend and encourage people to designate phone-free situations and phone-free zones, or screen-free situations and screen-free zones. So those are all little tweaks that anybody can make to make a little more space in what they're subjecting themselves to. And we found that it's really impactful. The Mindfulness in an Age of Distraction workshop is one of our most in-demand workshops, because people are really realizing that attention is becoming one of our scarcest resources, and that people will go to great lengths, and by people I mean not just individuals, but companies and media companies and tech companies, will go through great lengths. It is literally their business to keep you hooked. So we're trying to let you see the hook before you've bitten.
I love how you guys integrate that whole digital detox into your company, especially in nowadays. I feel like we're all so addicted to our phones and our emails, and all of those suggestions were amazing. I actually have taken off like my notifications for Facebook and Instagram, and you're right. I check it. I don't forget. But I'm not like bombarded with it all day where I'm like constantly going to it every time I get a message.
Yeah, we actually have a blog post up on our blog about the digital diet. So if any of you guys listening out there are interested in the specifics, you can find the digital diet on our blog, and it has all the information that you need to start your diet as soon as tomorrow. It's really, really easy.
Now, where do you guys see work from home in the future? Like, do you guys have anything in store for the rest of 2018 or a new project in 2019? What's in the works right now?
We've got all sorts of things in the works. Like I mentioned before, we're growing. So, originally we were just in New York. Now we are serving clients in Chicago, in Los Angeles, in San Francisco. We are starting to serve clients in Miami and in DC, and really making sure that the quality of our programming is excellent and that it's consistent and that our teachers are well-trained. That's really what our focus is on right now, is making sure that our offerings are top-notch, that our customer service is top-notch. And as we grow into new markets and as we hone in on our specific offerings, whether it be in-person, digital, special events, we want to make sure that we're offering programs and training people on a really high-quality and consistent basis. And so that a company who has offices in several different locations around the country, as many of our clients do, can have all of their employees have access to this kind of programming. So definitely expansion and the quality of the content is the most important thing to us right now.
I love that you guys are in other cities. I didn't even realize you guys had expanded already. That's awesome.
Yeah, slowly but surely. We do experience growing pains, just like any company that is in this sort of phase. But it's great, and it's super exciting, and we're going with it.
So with that being said, where do you guys each individually find your inspiration, or are there any like yoga or meditation books or podcasts that you guys follow that, you know, really motivate you?
Yes, definitely. Maggie, do you want to start?
Yeah, sure. Well, I mean, just like on a general kind of thing, I get inspiration every single day from all of the students, from the students that we work with at Work From Home, from their feedback, everything. Books, I'm currently reading A Return to Love by Marianne Williamson, and it is wonderful. It's reflections on the principles of A Course in Miracles. And if you've seen A Course in Miracles, it's a pretty hefty book, kind of a commitment. So this is really, really great. It kind of takes, it's just like her take on it. Podcasts, I love Henry Winslow's Dharma Talk. Henry's actually, he's a friend, he's a teacher. And each week he interviews other teachers, other people in the yoga scene, some really influential people in the yoga scene, and talk about their yoga experiences, their yoga journeys, and kind of what everyone has learned along the way. And it's really inspirational. I really enjoy it every week.
I'll definitely have to check that podcast out, but I actually have read that book by Marianne Williamson too, and I love it.
It's so good.
It really is.
I keep like underlining quotes, like writing it down in my notes. I just want to make sure I remember everything.
And what about you, Sarah?
So I'll start with yoga. So I love Dharma Yoga Center and Sri Dharma Mitra in particular. He is definitely a huge influence and inspiration on me. And also Lighthouse Yoga School and Jared McCann, actually.
Of course.
Abby and I both took a teacher training from Jared, and he's incredible. He has a studio in Brooklyn. Everyone should stop by there and Dharma if they have the opportunity.
Yes.
Books. So I buy books faster than I can read them, but I've also read quite a few. And most of the books that I would recommend are not really super specific to yoga, but more so philosophy. The Art of Happiness by the Dalai Lama is an amazing book. I think everybody should read it. Wherever you go, there you are is a foundation to mindfulness meditation by Jon Kabat-Zinn, who is considered the founder of modern-day mindfulness. Pema Chodron is an incredible Buddhist author and teacher. Her books have really influenced me a lot and my perspective on things a lot. So I'll pull myself back and leave you guys with that. I could probably go on forever.
That's really funny that you said that, because I literally buy more books than I can keep up with reading as well. It's like the worst habit, but like I have good intentions. I totally plan on reading them all at some point.
It's nice to have a library though, isn't it?
Totally. So my next question for you is, where can everybody find you? Where can they contact you to potentially get their company going with a workshop with you? Give us all your social media handles.
Sure. Maggie, why don't you, Director of Communications, take that one?
Okay, I will communicate. So you can find us on every social channel we have, on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. The handles are all Work From Home. You can email us at hello@workfromhome, and we are always checking everything, always responding to everything, commenting. Follow us. We will follow you back. We love you. And yeah.
And of course, the website, workfromhome.com.
Yes. Yeah, the website is great. We have a blog where we're trying to post a little bit more regularly, so keep a lookout for that. And if you want to sign up, we have a monthly newsletter that goes out with different tips, information on our different workshops, different classes, and every newsletter is it's timely to whatever, season it is, whatever's going on in the world. We try to tailor everything to that to make it a little more relevant to your lives. So if you want to sign up for that, just head to the website as well.
Yes. And if you are a yoga teacher, go to the website, go to our About section, and there is a drop down that says teacher application. please fill it out. We would love to consider you for some of our programs.
Awesome. Okay, and then I have one last question for you guys. And I ask everybody who comes on the podcast, what is your favorite flavor of kombucha?
Oh, I love the trilogy flavor. Is that like a flavor? I'm not sure exactly what's in it, but I know that it's called trilogy and it's like a multicolored label.
Yes, that's the red one, right?
Yes, yes.
And what about you, Sarah?
So my favorite kombucha, I, to be honest with you, don't even know the brand, but they have it at The Wing, which is an incredible women's workspace and professional community. But they sell this kombucha and they have this one ginger flavor. I really am a sucker for like ginger, turmeric, et cetera. So I'm not sure the brand, but I'm going to go with ginger kombucha.
Which is so funny because literally, I'm telling you, like at least 75 of the people who I ask say ginger is their favorite flavor.
Really?
Yeah. Cool. That's like popular vote. Well, thank you both for coming on the podcast. I totally appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.